Ask for you to go with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 6. In the New Testament, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 6. If you do not have a Bible, raise your hand and we can get one to you. If you need a Bible this morning, we want you to have a Bible in front of you as we study God's Word together. Acts chapter number 6. We'll begin reading at verse number 1. We'll read the entire chapter as is our custom. Acts chapter number 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 6. And we'll begin reading at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer, and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of Libertines and Syrians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." And let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning asking that you would please bless the time that we have as we open up your word and attempt to challenge your people. Lord, I pray that you would help me to have a clear mind, help me to be able to communicate the thoughts that we'll be looking at this morning clearly. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move in the hearts of our people and that we would be challenged by your word this morning. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. Well, we're in Acts chapter number 6. If you remember, we ended our series on the family last week. And today being Worker Appreciation Sunday, I want to talk to you specifically about this idea of service and this idea of working and volunteering. And for those of you, if you're a first-time guest this morning, I apologize. This may be a little bit different of a sermon than what we normally do at Verity Baptist Church. But every once in a while, we kind of need to just talk to the church family. So we're glad you're here. So you get to kind of see how our church operates and how we work. But we took the Sunday and we took the day to appreciate the workers and the volunteers and all those who take time out of their schedules to help us with ministry and to help us accomplish the things that we need done. And I want to explain to you that there's a very biblical and spiritual reason for this. If you look at Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. It says, "And in those days," I want you to notice this, okay, "when the number of the disciples was multiplied." That's a good thing. In fact, that's the goal. The goal of every church is to reach more people and not just reach those people, but see them take the steps of baptism and begin to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, like Jesus said, and to teach them to become a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. Someone gets saved and that's a decision they make. They choose to accept Christ as their Savior. They choose to accept the gift of eternal life. But once they've made that choice, they then have to make the choice to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's where the work of the church comes in, because we can all go out and knock doors and evangelize and preach the gospel, and we don't really need a church for that. But we do need a church to be able to bring people in and fellowship and include them and love them and teach them the Bible so that they can become followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here about the church in Jerusalem, it says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, the church in Jerusalem was growing. They were reaching people. The Bible says there arose a murmuring. Now, that word murmuring means a complaining, you know, people talking behind the pastor's back type thing, you know. Kind of just a subtle thing, just kind of complaining. And it was, you know, a legitimate complaint. I mean, I don't think you should ever murmur, but it was something that was being neglected. Notice this, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were, and I want you to notice this word, they were neglected. Now, the word neglected means they were not receiving proper attention in the daily ministration. That word ministration is our word ministry. It was in the daily, day-to-day ministry that needed to be done. The widows were being neglected. The Grecian widows were being neglected. And there was this murmuring that was going on. And there was these things that were not being done. But I want you to understand this. It was not being done because of this. The number of the disciples was multiplied. See, the goal is growth. And the goal is not growth for the sake of numbers. If we wanted to grow for the sake of numbers, there's many things we could do to attract the crowd. But the goal is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and help them grow spiritually and become a disciple of Jesus Christ and a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's the goal. The goal is for the church to grow, not so that we can say that the church is growing, but the goal is for the church to grow so that we can reach more people and multiply disciples. But you need to understand this. There is a problem with church growth. When the church grows, which is the goal, when the church grows, which is what we want, there are problems that arise with the church growth. As churches grow, the workload grows. Someone said to me this, pastors are the only people crazy enough to pray for people. Because when you pray that God would allow you to reach more people, you know what you're asking for? Problems. Because every time someone walks in through those doors and God adds that person to our church, that person brings with them problems. Because guess what? You have problems, I have problems, we all have problems. By the way, that's why we're here, because we have problems. And churches grow, and when churches grow, the workload grows. And as the workload grows, you need to understand this, as the workload grows, the workforce needs to grow. If the workforce does not grow, the workload will get put on the shoulders of a few. If the church grows, the work grows. And as the work grows, the workers, the workforce needs to grow. And if the workforce doesn't grow, then the work gets put on the shoulders of a few. And you need to understand this. When the work grows and it gets put on the shoulders of a few, ministry goes neglected. I wish I could tell you of all the hospital appointments I didn't make and all the visits that I missed because there was just so much going on that sometimes, and I hate to admit it, ministry will go neglected. And the tendency of church growth is this. Look at verse 2. Then the 12. Now you got to understand, at this time the apostles were around, and I don't believe today we have apostles. Apostles had to meet certain qualifications. They had to be under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the Apostle Paul was the last person to be called by Jesus Christ physically. And Paul himself said, last of all, that he was the apostle. So I don't believe the office of apostles is today. But at this time in the New Testament age, there was the 12 who were the spiritual leadership of the church. Today, this would be like the pastor, or maybe one day our church may have associate pastors or assistant pastors, something like that. These were the spiritual leadership. Now, notice what happened. There's a problem. What's the problem? It's a good problem. The church is growing. The disciples are multiplying. But with that ministry, it's going neglected. And the Bible says in verse 2, then the 12, that's the spiritual leadership. Those are the pastors. That's the pastor of the church. He called the multitude of the disciples unto them. They had a church business meeting and said, notice what they said. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, you need to understand this, okay? The idea of tables there is food or a physical need. They said, look, these widows need to be taken care of. Somebody needs to make sure that we go and help these widows get their groceries and get the help that they need, and we need to go and minister to them. But here's what the spiritual leadership, and it sounds a little self-serving, and I understand that, but we need to understand this. He says, it is not reason that we, the 12 apostles said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, here's what you got to understand, okay? The tendency when the church grows, the tendency when the workload grows is, well, just have the pastor do it. Or just have the pastor's wife do it. She doesn't do anything, right? She just sits at home all day doing nothing. Just have them do it. I mean, he only works once a week, right? And the tendency is to say, well, just have the apostles do it. Just have the 12 do it. Just have the spiritual leadership do it. But you need to understand this. In church, there is spiritual work and then there is physical work. Now look, the physical work is not that it's not important, but you got to understand, spiritual work is preaching. Spiritual work is praying. Spiritual work is studying God's word. Spiritual work is counseling. Spiritual work is evangelism. Spiritual work is soul winning. Spiritual work is discipleship. Spiritual work is the things that we do that we're investing into the lives of individuals. Now, in church, you have spiritual work, but you also have physical work. There's things that need to be done around here in order for the spiritual work to be able to be done. Someone has to clean the building. Someone has to drive the van. Someone has to clean the van. Someone has to post the sermons. Someone has to make the CDs. Someone has to take care of the tables that we have around here so that the spiritual work can be done. And they said, it is not reason. And that word reason, if you study it out in Scripture, what they're saying is this: it's not right that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. The pastor or the spiritual leadership, you need to understand this. The pastor is not above doing physical work. Let me just say that again. The pastor is not above doing spiritual work. My wife and I believe we have tried over the last 4 years to set the example. And we, you know, you want to know who picks up and cleans the building in between the services on Sunday morning and Sunday night? My wife does. You want to know who is out here sometimes late at night straining up the chairs and fixing up things? I do it. I follow the baptistry. There's not an issue with that. The pastor's not above those things. But you need to understand this, okay? The main job of the pastor is to do spiritual work. And it is not reason, it is not appropriate, it's not pleasing to God to have the pastor leave the spiritual work to do the secular work or the physical work when there are people that could take care of that work. That's what the story is about. The Bible says it's not reason, meaning it's not right, it's not proper, it's not pleasing. Now here's what you got to understand, okay? Our church has grown. You know, for those of you that have been here for more than a year, you say, Pastor, every fall you preach a sermon like this, you know. But here's the thing. I don't know if you noticed. Every year our church grows. I it's crazy to me that 4 years ago, my wife and I, and oftentimes it was just me, my wife, my two boys at the time, and Brother and Mrs. Anderson on a Sunday morning in our living room having church 4 years ago. And, you know, back then, it was easy to minister. There wasn't a lot to do. We just had to keep them happy, you know. And Brother Ray's pretty easy. You just get him donuts, he's good to go. You know what I mean? But as the church grows and as the workload grows, ministry grows, as the disciples grow, the workforce needs to grow. Our church has grown, and as a result, the workload grows. And if the ministry is going to go on, if we will reach more people next year than we've reached this year, the workforce needs to grow. And the problem is this. Every year we need more workers. We need more volunteers. We need more people that will say, I will step. I'm thankful to take a day to look at those that for the last year have faithfully served in the background and in the shadows and have taken those that have said, Pastor, I will remove this load off of your shoulders. You don't have to worry about it. I will take care of it. I will do it. It will get done the way you need to. I'm thankful for those people. And as we reflect today on Worker Appreciation Sunday, I'm thankful to look back and say, those people have helped us hitherto. But now we need to look forward and realize that if the church will continue to grow, and if we will continue to reach, and if we will continue to baptize, if we will continue to disciple, if we will continue to be the light that we need to be in this community, it's going to require some of you to step up and say, hey, I'll work, I'll help, I'll volunteer, I'll give an hour of my time. I'll give 2 hours of my time. See, the problem is we need workers. But see, God has already solved the problem. Look at verse 3. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. The apostle said, well, there's a problem here. It's not reason that we leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3 says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you. See, the answer to our problem is you. God's already solved the problem. Say, Pastor, you need more workers. I know we need more workers. Well, what are you going to do? God's already solved the problem. The answer is you. Look ye out among you. You are the answer to our need. He says, look out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They said, if we can find people to help us serve tables, then we can continue to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And here's what you got to understand. You're there in Acts chapter 6, and keep your finger there in Acts because we're going to come back to it. But go with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12 is the next book after Acts. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then you've got the book of Romans. Look at Romans chapter number 12. You need to understand what a church is. A church is not as much an organization as it is an organism. It's not as much a group of people as it is a body. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul teaches us and gives us a little insight into this idea. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, the Bible says this, for as we have many members, do you see that? Romans 12, 4, for as we have many members. Now that word members means body parts. And you say, you know, why do we call it, I'm a church member. What that means is you are a body part, you are a part of this body. Now he says, for as we have many members, he says, in the same way that you in your body, you have many different body parts. Now notice what he says, and all members have not the same office. All the body parts don't do the same thing. He says in verse 5, so we, or in the same way, being many, are one body in Christ. He says, just like your body has a lot of different body parts that do different things, they don't all have the same office. He says, in the same way, we, being many different people, many different cultures, many different backgrounds, many different ages and maturity levels and spiritual maturity levels and talents and things and abilities, he says, we, being many, are one body in Christ. And everyone members one of another. Now notice what he says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. See, God has given you a gift, and God has given me gifts, and our gifts may be different. He said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, he says, whether prophecy, a reference to preaching, that you may have the gift of preaching. Let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry, the idea of serving, there are people who just love to serve. Say, I'd love to serve as an usher. I'd love to help. I'd love to serve. He says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, maybe you have an apt for teach, and you could take on that discipleship ministry and help people learn and grow in the grace. He says, he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, you're good at encouraging people. You're good at kind of helping people along the way. He says, or he that encourageth on exhortation. He that giveth, some people just have the gift of being generous. They're just generous with their time and money, and they help and support our ministry. He says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, the idea there is administration, management, being able to take a task and get it done. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy. That, you know, the example I think of is the ladies that will cook meals for those who are in the hospitals, or when a lady has a baby, they'll cook a meal and they have mercy. He that hath mercy with cheerfulness. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me show you another passage. You're there in Romans. The next book is 1 Corinthians. It's interesting that Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll see the similarities there. Almost kind of parallel passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. See, you need to understand this. God gave you a talent. God gave you a gift. God gave you an ability. God gave you something that he didn't give me. And I can't do what you do. I can't post sermons on a website. I have no clue how. And when I did it, you know what number one complaint we got was, when are you going to post sermons? Because, I mean, we'd go 3 years without posting a sermon. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, that's what we're talking about, right? spiritual gifts. He says, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He said, let me talk about spiritual gifts. And we could look at the whole passage, but I don't want to take the time to do that. Just skip down to verse number 12. Look what he says. Look at the parallel to Romans 12. He says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. He says, just like your body is many body parts, and they all work together. He says, the same way is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's what he's saying. You may be a Jew, you may be a Gentile, you may be bond, you may be free. We all have different backgrounds and different cultures, but he says, God brings us together. And Jesus said about the house of God that it should be called the house of prayer to all nations. And God has brought all sorts of different people together and brought us together because you have an ability that I don't. And he says he wants us to come together and work together. Just like my hand doesn't work independent of my body, but all my body parts work together to get done whatever this body needs to get done. He says in the same way, the church should come together and everyone's talents and everyone's abilities and everything that you can do and everything that you can bring to the table, we put it together for the purpose of what the body of Christ is here to do, which is the same thing that the physical body of the physical Jesus Christ was here to do, which is to seek and to save that which was lost. It's to multiply disciples. It's to reach more people. See, if we're going to reach more people, we need your help. We need you to do your part. You say, well, how are we going to find more people to help? Well, God's already solved the problem. Look at verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. But now hath God, notice what it says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. Now, let me just talk to our church family for just a moment. If you're a first-time guest, we're glad you're here. And you know, if you're looking for a church, we'd love to minister to you. But let me just talk to those of you who have already made that commitment. You say, Verity Baptist Church is my church. And look, you got to understand this about ministry. And so, somebody explained this to me not too long ago, and I thought that makes perfect sense. In churches, there are three types of people. There are those people who acknowledge me as a pastor. I'm a pastor. I just have that position of a pastor, and that's okay. Some people come into this church, and I'm a pastor. Then there are people in this very room who I'm not just a pastor, I'm the pastor. I'm not just a random pastor that they know, but I'm the pastor of the church that they, you know, attend on a consistent basis. But see, for some of you, I'm not a pastor, and I'm not the pastor. I'm your pastor. And that's who I want to talk to. If I'm your pastor, which is the minority, I get that. I know some of you are just here because you just, you know, if you live somewhere else, you'd go to another church. And if the guy on TV that you like more, you know, you live just closer there, or the guy on YouTube who you like more, you live closer there, you'd go there. I get that. That's fine. We're glad you're here. But for those of you that have said, you know what, I'm not renting here. I'm going to kind of own this thing. This is going to be my church. This is going to be my ministry. This is going to be, I'm part of this body. You need to understand this. Verse 18. God set you here. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. See, if you believe that God has brought you to Verity Baptist Church and this is your church home, then the Bible says that God set you here because it pleased him to bring you here. He invested you into our ministry for the purpose of helping us accomplish our task, which is reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, the church is growing. I know. Last week, we ran out of chairs. And, you know, we had to go buy some chairs. So the church is growing. It's exciting. But you know what? With that growth, there's a problem. Because when the church grows, the workload grows. And when the workload grows, the workforce needs to grow. And if the workforce doesn't grow, then the work gets put on the shoulders of a few. And when it gets put on the shoulders of a few, ministry goes neglected. You say, Pastor, that's a big problem. I know it's a big problem. Well, what are we going to do about it? Where are we going to find the answer? The answer is you. God has placed you here as it pleased him to help us. Now, let's just get real practical for a minute. In your bulletin, you should have had the communication card insert. In your communication card, it gives you some options to be able to give us your information. If you're a first-time guest, you should have got a visitor's card. We'd appreciate it if you fill that out for us. And you can fill out the communication card or visitor's card. And there's a section there for my next step, and we'll talk about that after the service. But if you turn the communication card around, usually on the back of the communication card is a place for you to put in a prayer request. This week, we've put on there service opportunities for Verity Baptist Church, because oftentimes people will come up to me and say, "Pastor, I'd like to help. How can I help?" And I'll give you things, you know, I'll say, "Well, you can help in this area or that area." But this is kind of a thing we do once a year where you can kind of see the areas that we need help in. And you can say, "Hey, I could do that. Hey, I could take care of that. Hey, I could be the body part that takes care of that so that the pastor doesn't have to worry about it, so that he doesn't have to neglect the things of God and the spiritual work to do the physical work." And I just want to go over these with you, and you may be prompted by the Holy Spirit to say, "I can help with that." And if you would, we would appreciate if you filled that out, and we'll follow up with you, and we'd love for you to be able to help us reach people with the gospel of Christ. You say, "Well, I can't preach." These are all serving table type ministries. Things that you say, "Well, I don't know a lot about." You don't need to know a lot about the Bible to drive a vehicle. You see what I'm saying? Just kind of things like that. So let's just go through these real quick. Service opportunities for Verity Baptist Church. Does anybody not have one that would like to see one as we go through? If you need one, just put your hand up. And can our ushers, can we get some of these? We should have had some extra from, we got them over there. Let's just put your hand up and we'll get those. And let's go through this. And please understand this. If you fill this out, you're not hired, okay? You're just asking for information in regards to this, okay? So it says, "I would like some information about," and here are some places you could serve over the next year at Verity Baptist Church. You can say, "I would like some information about helping as an usher." Now, as an usher, we need people that come to all three services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And what you do is really you do everything that I need you to do. I mean, you greet, you seat, you help people, you get... If somebody needs anything, you're just kind of there to make sure that the service goes well, and we have usher training and all those things. You say, I could do that. I could receive the help with receiving the offering, and I could help with greeting people." And if you say, if that's something you feel I have the aptitude to do, you could check that off and say, "I can help as an usher all three services." You could also you may say, "I would like some information about helping with the cleaning of the church building." We have, like I said, a couple ladies that clean every week. They work very hard, but we can always use more help when it comes to cleaning. You can say, "Hey, I can come here on a Saturday and help, clean to make the workload a little less for Ms. Bishop. Or I can step in that. I can help Ms. Bueller," or whatever it is. And you say, "Hey, I can do that on a weekly basis. I could, give an hour and a half of my time to help with the cleaning of the church building." You could say, "I would like information about helping with light cleaning between the Sunday morning and PM services." Hey, we have ladies that clean before Sunday. We have ladies that clean after Sunday. But after church today, this place will be a mess, and it'll have to be straightened up before the evening service tonight. And, you know, right now, like I said, and I'm not complaining. I hope you understand that. My wife and I take care of that, and we're happy to take care of it. But as a pastor and as a pastor's wife, we often have people that want us to come have lunch with them so that we can minister to them out of the Word. They have questions or they need help, and they'd like us to go meet with them. And oftentimes, we have to kind of make people wait because we have to straighten up the chairs and clean up. And if there was a lady or a man or someone, say, "Hey, you know what, Pastor, I'll take care of that." So you can minister after church, so you can talk to people, so you don't have to, you know, be here late and then come back early for church. I can go ahead and help with some light cleaning between the Sunday morning and Sunday evening services. You may want some information about helping as a fill-in cleaner. Maybe you say, I can't clean every week, but I'd be able to every once in a while when these ladies go on vacation or if they're out of town or whatever, I could step in and do their job when they're not there. You could ask for some information in regards to being a church van driver. Right now, Brother Ron drives the van faithfully for all three services, but we could, of course, use some help. And if you say, "I could do that, I could drive the van," you can circle there. "I can help on Sunday night with that," or "I can help on Wednesday night," or "I can be a fill-in and be ready if someone gets sick and we need somebody to drive the van." You say, "Who fills in now when someone gets sick?" I do. I get in that van and I drive it around and I bring it in, and Brother Darrell helps us with that on Sunday night sometimes. So, that would be a huge help to us. You can help us with some office administrative tasks. And these are things that you could do from home, but there's a whole lot of just office work, administrative types things. You may say, "You know what, Pastor? I have some time. I know how to work a computer. You give me some of those tasks. You can do those from home. We'll train you how to do it," and all those things. But you can say, "Hey, I could help with that." We have a lot of office type tasks that we could get you to help us with. You may say, hey, I'd like to help in the sound booth. And we can get you connected with a Carlton, and he could train you on the sound booth. And that way we can have a couple people who know how that works and how it all goes. You could say, hey, I could help cut and serve the cake and ice cream every Sunday night of the last Sunday night of every month. We have cake and ice cream. And it doesn't seem like a lot, but someone needs to get in there and cut the cake and scoop the ice cream and serve it and get it ready. It would be great. My wife does that now. It'd be great if there was somebody say, hey, I'll take care of that. Every Sunday night, I can make sure. I'll show up a little early. I'll pre-slice the cakes. I'll make sure that they're served, and I make sure that they're taken care of. You could help with providing meals. We have two ladies in our church that are pregnant, and whenever a lady gives birth in our church will provide meals for the family for, 4, 5, 6 days. Someone goes to the hospital, we try to provide meals and be a blessing that way. You could say, hey, put me on that list, and I can help. And what we do is, that's as needed, obviously. We'd put you on a list, and when we need that, we would call and say, hey, can you provide a meal for this day, and all those things. Those are some areas that you could help us in. Now, please, let me just say a few things. Number one, filling out this form is only asking for information about these jobs, not committing to these jobs. Let me tell you something that happened a couple years ago. A couple years ago, we gave out a list like this, and somebody filled out the form, and they didn't get the job, okay? But here's the thing. The reason they didn't get the job is because it was a fairly easy job, and we had like 20 people volunteer for it. We just needed one. And this guy quit the church. He's like, well, I didn't get the job, and he just left the church, okay? Now, let me say, if that's you, okay, just do me a favor. Just don't fill out, okay? I've got 4 babies at home. I don't need another one. So just if that's your maturity level, just do me a favor. Don't fill out the card, and we'll just stay friends, okay? But just realize, if you fill the card out, it doesn't mean you got the job, okay? And you're not going to write in, pastor, I'll be the pastor, okay? It just means that you're getting information about these tasks. Also, understand this. Certain jobs may have some requirements. I had one lady one time, she said, I'd like to help drive the van, and which is great, but she was being picked up by the van. She didn't have a car. I'm thinking, I would have to go pick you up and bring you to church so then you can then go and pick people up. But that doesn't work. You know what I mean? So there may be some requirements, like some of these tasks, you may need a computer, or you may need a license or something. So just realize you're just getting information. You're not committing to anything. We're just going to tell you, hey, this is what the job entails. This is what you would need. And if it's something that you could do, great. If it's something you can't do, we're still friends. We still love you. But if you say, well, I'd like to serve, here's a list of things that you could do to help us over the next year to be able to do ministry in a better way. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just show you something, and we'll be done here fairly soon. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse number 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 25. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 says this. That there should be no schism. That word means a split or division in the body. He says that there be no split, that there be no division in the body. But that the members should have, notice this phrase, the same care one for another. He's talking about the members, the body parts, caring for each other. If you go back to Romans chapter 12, remember we're looking at the parallel between 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12? If you go back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, be kindly affectioned one to another. He said, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You don't have to turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, which is the verse that was in your bulletin, the Bible says this, for God is not unrighteous to forget the work and labor of your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. I want you to understand this. When you serve at Verity Baptist Church, who you are serving is each other. And you're having a kindly affectioned one to another. You're showing care one for another. If you go back to Acts chapter 6, I want you to see this last verse we'll look at. Acts chapter 6, look at verse 5. Right before, if you're in Romans, right before Romans, you got the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. The Bible says this. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now, this is probably more in reference to, you know, like a deacon or something like that, even though the word deacon isn't used there. But I want you to notice the result. Here was the problem. The problem was this. The church was growing. You say, that's a problem? Well, that's a good thing, but with that comes problems. The workload increases. As the workload increases, the workforce needs to increase. If the workforce doesn't increase, the work gets put on the shoulders of a few. When the work gets put on the shoulders of a few, ministry goes neglected. So what they did is they found people to help them serve tables so that the spiritual leadership would not have to neglect the spiritual work of the word and prayer and ministering to people. As a result of men and in our case, women stepping up and saying, I will help, I will volunteer, I will take on a task, and I will take something off your shoulder, and I will allow you the time to be able to do more ministry and more serving of other people. I can step in and help here. As a result of that, here's what always happens. And if you want to know why our church, we had our piano tuner here this week, and the piano tuner has been with us. He's been our piano tuner since the day we started our church. And every time he comes, we're in a different building. And he's like, man, your church is growing. Every time I come, your church is growing. I said, and he says, what's the secret? And you know, the secret is you. It's people saying, I will give of my time, I will give of my talent, I will give of my treasure, and I will volunteer, and I will take on I will make this my body. Now here's the result, verse 7. And the word of God increased. The idea there is that the preaching of the Word of God increased. There was better sermons. There was better biblical preaching because the spiritual leadership was given the time to devote itself to the ministry of the Word. Notice that the Word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied. See, the church that serves together grows together. And we need your help. When the volunteers are more, we'll be prepared to reach more. You say, Pastor, are we going to be able to reach more people this year, this coming year, than we did last year? I sure hope we do, but it all is dependent on one thing, and I'm not minimizing the work of the Holy Ghost. It's all dependent on one thing. If our volunteer base grows, we will be prepared to reach more people next year than we did this year. But the question is up to you. Will you help us? Will you partner with us? Will you volunteer your time to help us do ministry? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would use the sermon in the lives of our people. Lord, I know that there are visitors and first-time guests, and they just walked in for the first time, and I hope that you would help them to understand that we're not putting any pressure on them at all. This is more speaking to our family. But Lord, I do ask for those that say that this church is my church, this home is my home. This is my body that I congregate with. And Lord, I pray that today there would be some people who say, hey, I'll step in, I'll help, I'll be a part of that. Father, I pray that you bless the time that we have. I pray that you bless the singing and the baptisms to come. In your precious name I pray, amen. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and we're going to sing a song.